Hello and welcome to the One of a Kind You podcast. This is a podcast where we explore the transformative journey of healing from within. I'm your host, Kim Keen, a certified life coach and holistic healer, and I'm here to share my personal healing journey and provide a supportive space for yours. Whether you're dealing with childhood trauma, emotional wounds, or seeking a path to holistic well-being, you're not alone. Join me each week as we dive into stories, strategies, and insights that will help you feel more connected, empowered, and ready to embrace your own healing journey. Let's walk this path together, one step at a time, and welcome to my community.
Were you hoping that life would feel better, maybe less shitty, if you started doing the things that you saw other people doing to make their lives better, maybe going to therapy or binging self-help or venting to friends on those really tough days, and maybe even the holy grail of all fixes, taking antidepressants or anti-anxiety meds? I was there too. My life felt like an absolute train wreck. I was struggling with leaving my teaching career. I was struggling with being a stay-at-home mom. I was just struggling all the way around. And I thought, okay, those have to be the magic fixes. So let me sign up for therapy. Let me binge into the self-help world and see what happens. But boy, was I wrong. Those were not the magic fixes, because after 2.5 years of therapy, self-help books, podcasts, YouTube videos, blog articles, you name it, I tried it, venting to friends, not taking meds, but getting really pretty freaking close, nothing was changing. If anything, I was more lost, more desperate, more hopeless than when I started therapy in 2014. And so I said, that's it. I'm quitting. I quit all of those things because I realized that those were not going to be the things that helped me overcome the healing and the heartache and the pain and the struggle that I was facing every single day. So let me dive into why I quit each of those things. First, I quit therapy. I know it sounds counterproductive, counterintuitive, like the biggest mistake I can make, but it was actually the most helpful thing that I could do. What was happening is that I would go to therapy and I would feel shitty, and I would feel like I just couldn't take another second of another day. I would sit in the office, I would chat with the therapist, I would tell her what I was feeling, and she would say, well, tell me about that time when, or how did that make you feel when? And this was just what happened week after week after week after week. And then somewhere along the lines in the conversation, she would say, you know, Kim, we really should talk about medication. It will give you the stairs to climb your way out of the ditch. That way you're not clawing your way out of the ditch every single day. And I saw myself as a failure for not being able to cope with life. So needing medications to climb my way out of these metaphorical stairs or this ditch or this hole or whatever, just I couldn't allow myself to do it. I couldn't bring myself to come to the realization that I might need to take a pill to be able to live life. And when I would say to her, no, I don't want to do that, I can't do that because I already see myself as a failure and needing a pill for me would be the most epic fail, she would gaslight me into thinking that I was wrong or that it was the only way and without those medications, I would be doomed forever. And that it really was the only way to the other side of the shit that I was feeling, this desperate, hopeless, defeated mentality that I had. Then she would say to me, well, I'm giving you the tools. And if you're not willing to use the tools, then medication is the key. And she led me to believe that I had this metaphorical toolbox that was just overflowing with all of these tools that I could just whip out at any given time to get through the codependency, the anxiety, the enmeshment, the childhood emotional neglect, the frustration, the overwhelm, the all the things. And really, the toolbox was empty. She gave me two tools. One was invisible scissors, and the other was invisible cooking spray. But the thing is, I wasn't aware enough of when I was being codependent or enmeshed or anxious or depressed or any of the other things to be able to get those scissors or that cooking spray out and actually use them. The other thing was that she was giving me these surface level things like, Kim, you are the CEO of your household, so tell your husband what you need from him. But I didn't see myself as the CEO of my household, so it was really hard for me to take that role on, let alone to be able to articulate something that I needed, because quite frankly, I really didn't know what I needed. I was still in this stage of self-discovery and figuring out out what life meant without a teaching career, which was my whole identity, and struggling with being a stay-at-home mom, and now all of these labels that she just kept throwing at me left and right, and it was just way too much to comprehend. It was overwhelming, and so trying to figure all of that out, but also being the CEO of my household and knowing what that meant, I couldn't do it all at one time. So she was really just digging my ditch, my metaphorical ditch, into a deeper, wider, longer ditch. The worst part of therapy was that I was becoming dependent on my therapist because I would struggle and I would think, oh my gosh, I need a session with the therapist. I have to have a session. I don't even think I can wait a whole week until my next session. And I would make it through. I would get to the session and we would talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And I would think to myself, oh, she's going to give me the answers. She knows what I'm going through and she's going to be able to tell me what I need to make this stop. I would talk and talk and talk and she would listen, listen, listen and ask me about my feelings. But I would leave this session really not having any idea of how to move forward. And then guess what? I would find myself in the same situation the following week, feeling stuck, feeling overwhelmed, feeling like I didn't know the answer, and feeling like I needed to have a session, get to the session, praying, hoping, wishing that she would give me the answer that I was looking for, but just talk and talk and talk and talk and leave with still no answers. After a while, she started pressuring me to have my husband come to my sessions, and that was just not an option. And then I was being gaslighted for not being vulnerable with my husband. And really, these sessions weren't about my husband. I mean, they were because I would complain about being misunderstood by him and not getting what I needed from him and him not understanding, but he had a different upbringing than I did. He did not have an upbringing filled with codependency, enmeshment, anxiety, childhood emotional neglect. Really, his childhood had that metaphorical white picket fence. So of course he didn't understand what I was experiencing or thinking or feeling or needing because it was not in his map of the world. So we were on like two different islands, but then to be gaslighted for not wanting to ugly face cry in him and have him hear every deep, dark thing that I was dealing with and feeling like, no, thank you. Who wants to sign up for that? But then to be told that you're wrong for that is even more wrong. So after 2.5 years, I finally just reached my breaking point and it was like the metaphorical straw that broke the camel's back. She gaslighted me for the 8,000th time about not taking medications. And then at the end of that session, we were running late as usual because she would wait until 5 minutes before the session was done to bring up the conversation about medications yet again. And then she would say to me on this particular day, she said to me, do you need a hug? And I really didn't want her to hug me. So I just kind of leaned in and said, oh, thank you so much. And then she was like, well, time to put your game face on. You're probably really good at that, aren't you? And that was like it for me. That was the final straw. I realized I had had enough and this was toxic and I wasn't getting anywhere. And I was tired of running on this hamster wheel thinking that I needed this lady to give me the answers and help get me out of the ditch. So that was it. I never went back after that. Because I felt like I wasn't getting the answers from my therapist, I quit thing number two, and that is binging self-help. Because what was happening in therapy is that she was giving me a label. She would say codependency, and then give me this really vague explanation about what codependency was. And so I would go home, I would take to Google, and then I would look at every single thing that would come up on the Google search, and then I came across Melody Beattie and the book Codependency No More. And so I binged that, and then I binged The Language of Letting Go, and I binged the Codependency No More workbook, and then I got Melody Beattie's Daily Affirmations. And so this happened with codependency, it happened with childhood emotional neglect, it happened with anxiety, it happened literally with every single thing that came across my path because I felt like I didn't have the answers. I couldn't rely on a therapist to get the answers, so where else was I going to turn? I had a husband who didn't understand. So the self-help industry was like, for me, like the mecca of help. And so what was happening is that I was doing this binging on repeat. And it was just this vicious cycle of information, information, information. But the problem was I was drowning in information, literally drowning, because I had so much information at my fingertips that I couldn't say, okay, today or now, this is the piece of information that I'm going to focus on. Here's the step that I need to take. I couldn't do that because within that information, it was a lot of facts. It was a lot of learning, but the thing that was missing was a lot of tangible action steps. So, or they were action steps that felt completely out of alignment with where I was in the journey. They were too far advanced for where I was because I didn't have the self-awareness in the moment of being triggered with codependency, anxiety, or being affected by the childhood emotional neglect that I couldn't pinpoint the exact strategy that I needed. But then there was also no accountability with these resources. So I had all of this information. I couldn't really pinpoint the exact thing that I needed. But if on the rare chance that I said, oh, that might be the strategy that works for me, let me try that, it wouldn't stick because it felt awkward, it felt uncomfortable, but there was no one there supporting me through the journey. No one there saying, okay, Kim, how's that strategy working for you? Oh, it's not really working for you? Okay, let's tweak it and let's try this instead. Something similar, but just with a little adjustment and see how that works. So not only was I doing this at home when the labels would rear their ugly head and I felt completely weighed down by them, but I was doing this in the car. So I was listening to podcasts, I was listening to audiobooks, I was listening to YouTube videos, and I even had a notebook in the car in the side pocket of my door, and I would scribble down notes frantically at red lights, or I would pause what I was listening to, open my notes and do a voice memo about something that I felt was important and needed to remember. But the information overload just continued. And again, I was spiraling and getting nowhere fast. So then this brings me to number three, thinking about medication. I completely quit that. I stopped considering that that was even an option, even though having no luck with therapy, no luck with the self-help industry, I started to think, maybe my therapist is right. Maybe I do need those meds after all. Even though I knew that they really weren't the right solution for me, because all of the things that I was struggling with were learned behaviors. The codependency was learned, the enmeshment was learned, the anxiety was learned. It was all learned behaviors. I knew that there wasn't really a chemical component to why I was struggling. And so therefore, I really didn't think that the medication was gonna work because there was no chemical component. And I knew that in the moment, yes, I might feel more even keeled with the medication, maybe even a little bit numb, but that all the struggles would continue to be there once I stopped the medication. Plus, I had little kids at home at the time, and I didn't want to be numb around them because I didn't want to miss out on anything more than I already had from being in the depths of the struggles. But it was really hard for me to let go of the idea of checking medication off the list of things that could actually make the change that I needed, because I even had friends taking medication who were like, yeah, it's been such a game changer for me. You should really consider them, Kim. Without the meds, I would still be struggling so badly. The thing is, though, that they were taking these medications, and yes, they were getting some relief from them, but they were also being affected by some really negative side effects. And so I had to take that into consideration, too. And I was like, you know what? I'm just not willing to do that, especially sometimes it can take 6 to 8 weeks to even get relief from any of these medications. And I thought, do I really want to feel like I'm struggling for 6 to 8 weeks more and then not even be guaranteed that these are also going to be the fix? I just couldn't take that chance. So at that point, I was like, you know what, Kim, stop even thinking about it. The medications are not the right choice. So I said, that's it. I'm all done. No more even considering medication. And the other thing that I had to stop was telling my friends how shitty my life was. I was constantly feeling like I needed to tell anyone and everyone what I was dealing with, how awful therapy was, how I was just going through this cycle of information overload and getting nowhere fast, and how I was thinking that medication might be the answer, but really couldn't pull the trigger and actually take the meds. And so this, every time I saw like a friend, an acquaintance, I would unleash and do this verbal diarrhea all over them. And the look on their face was purely being uncomfortable. They thought, oh my God, zip your lips, lady, and stop talking to us. We do not want to know any of this. We don't want to know, partly because it's uncomfortable to hear that someone is struggling. And two, they didn't have the answer because in their mind, they're thinking like, okay, you're really effed because you've done therapy, it didn't work. You've tried self-help, it didn't work. You won't take meds. So what else is there for you to try? Nothing. So just face it, lady, you're doomed. And so I just could not continue to do that because I didn't want to make people feel uncomfortable. I didn't want them to feel pressured to come up with an answer for me because I can come up with the answer with myself. And so I just said, you know what, Kim? It's on a need to know basis, and 90% of the people that you're telling do not need to know. So stop telling them. Stop it right now. And on top of being a buzzkill, which I didn't want to be, I actually felt more alone the more I shared what I was dealing with, because most people didn't have the experience that I had. Yeah, maybe their parents divorced, but they pulled through okay. They weren't affected by childhood emotional neglect, or if they were, they didn't even have that realization, so it wasn't impacting them now as an adult. They weren't dealing with codependency or enmeshment. They weren't dealing with domestic violence or toxic relationships. They were on a completely different path than I was. And so then when I would tell them what I was going through or thinking or feeling or experiencing, they just couldn't relate. So then I felt more isolated. I felt more broken. I felt more desperate, more helpless, more alone. And it was just really not serving me at all to be sharing, because it was actually putting me in a deeper, darker place. And the final thing that I quit, I stopped relying on the labels from the therapist as my excuse, my guide, my crutch. Because whenever things felt even remotely hard, remotely challenging, I would immediately say, it's because I'm codependent. It's because of enmeshment. It's because of childhood emotional neglect. And that became my narrative. I can't do this. I can't fix this. I can't feel this, or I am feeling this, or I don't want to do this, or I feel broken because, and it all came back to these labels that the therapist had given me. And I was really getting stuck in those labels. And the more I said them, the more I believed them, the more I attached them to myself, and the more they became part of me. And so this was also a vicious cycle because I couldn't get the heck out of my own way because every time I turned around, there was something triggering me and I could relate it to one of the labels. And the more I focused on them, the more they kept me stuck because they were influencing my belief about myself, my life, my relationships, my abilities. I mean, they were really creating some deep limiting beliefs within myself about my life and me and my relationship with my kids and my husband and my ability to be able to get a job or make changes in the future. And they were really making it hard for me to cope because the more I attached to these labels, the more I believed that I couldn't change, the more I believed that I was stuck in the grips of their dysfunction. And I became more angry, more resentful, more hypervigilant, more isolated. It was just really a nasty place to be. And I didn't want that for myself because I didn't want that to be the memory my kids had of me from their childhood. And I knew that if I stuck with these labels, if I continued to use them the way that I had been, I was going to inevitably pass them down to my girls, which was the absolute last thing that I did not want to do. And when I would get triggered and would feel stuck, it would lead me back to binging self-help. And so that was also part of the vicious cycle. So I really had to start making some changes about how I approached my journey and how I wanted to move forward and what I believed myself to be capable of, and really finding new ways, less traditional ways, to be able to cope. And a few of those things were meditation and yoga and Reiki.
So thank you so much for tuning in today to listen to another episode of One of a Kind You. If you would be so kind to leave a review, I'd be so appreciative. I take the time to read all the reviews to ensure that this podcast continues to be a place of support and guidance and a resource that's valuable and helpful. And if this episode was helpful, please feel free to share it with a friend. The more, the merrier.